Hi, and welcome to our service. If you're new here, you may be wondering who we are and what this church is all about. Well, the heart of the matter is this. We're a group of people doing our best to love God and love those around us. One of the ways we express this love is through worship, because our God is truly amazing. He created everything, great and small, and His love for us is incredible, powerful, and completely unconditional. We also spend time looking into His Word, the Bible, and receive practical teaching to guide us along His path in our everyday lives. But it doesn't end when the service is over. Throughout the week, we gather in groups to serve, pray, reach out to our community, and sometimes just to hang out and have fun. Life is full of challenges, and none of us are perfect. But we believe that's one of the reasons God has brought us together. We're all here to help and support each other through each step of life's journey, because nobody should have to travel alone. So thanks for joining us today. No matter who you are, we want you to know you are welcome.
With us. All right. I just want you guys to think of one reason this morning that you have to praise our great God. I know that you have tons and tons of reasons. The breath in your lungs, the shoes on your feet, the air conditioning in this room. There's so many reasons. The life that you have. But I just want you to think of one reason and get that here in your mind and just begin to praise and thank is to give Him thanks. Whoa, whoa. Come on and bless the Lord.
Bless the Lord.
Come on,
come on,
come on.
step. Anybody? All right.
When I move my body, when I move my feet, when I open my mouth, then the darkness flees. When I move my body, when I move my feet, when I open
come
my
on,
mouth,
your mouth and
then
mouth.
The darkness flees. When I move my body, when I move my feet, when I open my mouth, then the darkness flees. When I move my body, when I move my feet, when I open my mouth, then the darkness flees.
My praise is a weapon.
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 And my dance is a weapon.
My dance is a weapon.
My dance is a weapon.
My dance
ready?
Is a weapon.
My jump 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 is a weapon.
My spin is a weapon.
My spin is a weapon.
My spin is a weapon.
My spin
ready?
Is a weapon.
My shout 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 is a weapon.
My shout.
My shout is a weapon.
My shout.
But who's ready to do another one? All right, here we go. In glorious, shout it out in glorious. Make it loud and Jesus, we shout your name. Jesus, we make your praise glorious.
Forever and ever, you say the same.
thank you that no matter what happens in our lives, God, you remain the same. That for years and years, you have always been, and for years and years and years, you will always be, God. Father, we just worship you today. Thank you, Jesus.
When I think about the Lord, how he saved me, how he raised me, how he filled me up with the Holy Ghost, how he healed me to the uttermost. When I think about the Lord, how he picked me up, he turned me around, how he set my feet on solid ground. It makes me wanna shout, hallelujah, thank you, Jesus. Lord, you're worthy of all the glory and all the honor and all the praise. When I think about the Lord, how he saved me, how he raised me, how he filled me up with the Holy Ghost, how he healed me to the uttermost. When I think about the Lord, how he picked me up, he turned me around, how he set my feet on solid ground. It makes me wanna shout, hallelujah, thank you, Jesus. Lord, you're worthy of all the glory and all the honor and all the praise. It makes me wanna shout, hallelujah, thank you, Jesus. Lord, you're worthy of all the glory and all the honor and all the praise.
You saved me, you raised me, you filled me, you healed me, you saved me. Oh, how you saved me,
you raised me.
Oh, how with the Holy Ghost, how he healed me to the uttermost. When I think about the Lord, how he picked me up, he turned me around, how he placed my feet on solid ground. It makes Jesus, Lord, you're worthy of all the glory.
Hallelujah. Isn't God good? Somebody here, you're dealing with arthritis in your left foot, mainly in your toes. If that's you, you just want to come on up front. We're going to lay hands on you. God's going to heal you this morning. There's another individual, you're having problems in your hip, and I'm going to show you where it's at. The last service, there was somebody who had pain here. But this is literally, goes right around the ball, or you could feel it right around the ball here. If that's you, God's going to heal you as well. You know, now let me tell you, it's called the Word of Knowledge, found in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. What that means is I literally physically feel that pain. It's not like, boy, that's a good guess. I literally physically feel that. That's you? I literally physically feel that pain. Now, if I feel that pain and I didn't come in with it, I'm not keeping it. That means it's somebody else's. That means God's saying, hey, I got somebody out here, one of my babies, that I'm going to heal this morning. Amen? It's called the Word of Knowledge. And what goes with the Word of Knowledge is the gift of healing and working of miracles. Now, what's really cool about that is whether it's a miracle or whether it's a healing, it all happens. Now, if it's a healing, it's progressive. If it's a miracle, it's instantaneous. Either way, you're going to get what you come for. Amen? I said amen?
Amen.
Amen. So I'm going to pray. Are you up here too? Amen. What do you want? Your hip?
You fill me, you heal me, you save me.
Oh, how you save me.
You
fill me with your
The next series we're going to start next Sunday. It's called Next Level Healing. It's going to be for 4 weeks. We're actually going to pick one of those Fridays, and we're going to have a miracle service just for that Friday. We're going to come in on a Friday night. We're going to rock this place. We're going to see God do miracles, signs, and wonders. It's going to be a phenomenal thing. Why? Because God loves healing his people. Amen. I said God loves healing his people. And he loves you. Can you tell somebody God loves you? Tell somebody else, by the way, I love Jesus. Amen. Why don't you go find 5 people you don't know and tell them, I love Jesus. Come on, go right out of your chair. Go find 5 folks and let them know you love Jesus.
How's it going?
Well, anyways, please take your seats and get ready for the upcoming announcements.
Then I heard the Lord asking,
Who should I send as a messenger for the people? Who will go for us?
Here I am. Send me.
I will be the one.
Hey guys, I would like to invite you to our Vacation Bible School. It starts August 12th and it goes through August 16th. We start at 9:30 and ends at 12:30. It's gonna be full of fun, games, prizes, and most importantly, Jesus. You can sign up right now at histabernacle.com. I hope to see you guys there.
Hey, His Tabernacle family. I want to invite you to our Next Step classes. These classes are meant to further your relationship with God. They're held at every campus, and if you need more information on it, visit histabernacle.com or go to the information center out front.
We have an awesome opportunity for you. Every Sunday morning at every campus, we host a class called Growth Track. What this is going to do is it's going to help you discover your purpose and how you fit into this body. We are so excited about this class. It is your next step if you haven't taken it. If you'd like more information, you can visit us right now at the Info Center, or you can visit us on our website at histabernacle.com.
Good morning, His Tabernacle Family Church. The Bible declares that this is the day the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. So can y'all do me a favor? Can y'all just put your hands together for the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords? Amen. Amen. Welcome to our 11 a.m. service. We are incredibly excited that you are here. If this is your first time to worship with us as a guest, can you just slip up your hand just like this? Amen. Come on now. Put your hands together for our guests. Awesome. If you have not received a gift packet already, please keep your hands lifted up. We have a gift for you. In there, you will find a mug, some information about our church. But more importantly, I want to invite you to our guest reception immediately after service on this side of the building, your right and my left. There will be some refreshments in there, get to meet some of the people on staff. But most importantly, we just want to tell you thank you so much for coming to worship with us. So put your hands together one more time for our guests. I have a few announcements for you guys. Who loves this stage? Look at this amazing stage. This is in preparation for Vacation Bible School that is starting tomorrow. We're just excited that there is a vision that we want to ensure for 1 week. Your kids from kindergarten through sixth grade, they're going to get the word. They're going to have some fun. They're going to come back, and there's going to be a deposit in their lives. So that's going to be starting tomorrow. But if you are a volunteer or if you would like to volunteer, there'll be a team meeting right on this side of the building directly after this service. There's some time that you can sow with your time and with your energy as well. So we'd love for you to volunteer 9:30 to 12:30 this entire week. In addition, we have senior breakfast tomorrow at 9 a.m. at Cracker Barrel. You get to join Pastor, who's well into his 50s. But if you identify as a senior, we want to come out and just fellowship with you. 50 or older. AARP. These are not my words. These are his. Okay, so tomorrow, 9 a.m. at Cracker Barrel. Also, we have August 25th. We have water baptisms. Who loves baptisms? Amen. I love baptism. So if you want to get water baptized, or if you know somebody that does, they can sign up at the info center or sign up online. It will be for both services. Invite out your family and your friends to celebrate with you. Lastly, I want to let you guys know that I am the Dean of Remnant Bible College. It is our Bible college here at His Tabernacle Family Church. We have our fall term that's starting in September, and I want to just let you guys know, perhaps you have a call of God on your life to go further in your call. Perhaps there's something that they're saying inside of you, I want to just understand the word on a deeper level. Might have been time you just said, well, God, you said Bible college time and time and time and time and time again, and I think this is the time. Well, I want to let you know we have a school right here for you called Remnant Bible College. We've made it in every single way possible to be available and affordable for you. We have full-time classes and part-time on campus and online. If you feel a call to Bible school, there is no excuse. It's also affordable, but most importantly, it is supernatural. So if you want to get involved with Remnant Bible College, please let me know. Chase me down, hit me up. But I want to ensure that according to Isaiah chapter 6, when the Lord says, "Who shall I go and send for us to preach the gospel, to be my messengers?" you will be fully equipped and empowered to answer like Isaiah said, "Here I am, Lord, you can send me." So if you're interested in Remnant Bible College, please just let me know. Amen?
Amen. Hallelujah. As we enter into this time of tithes and offerings, we'll go to the Word of God with what it has to say about our finances. In Malachi 3:10, he breaks it down and explains. It says, "Bring all the tithe into the storehouse." So he's explaining what that is. Tithe, first of all, the word itself means 10%. It's not a number that somebody picked. It's what the word from the Word of God actually means. And it's talking about bring all the tithe into the storehouse so that there might be food enough in my house. So that's bringing our tithe to the church. I know some people believe that you can tithe anywhere, that you can give your tithe to people in need, or your tithe can go to the evangelist, but it's not what the Word of God says. It says all the tithe belongs in my storehouse. Now, I don't come up here every week and teach you from the Word of God just out of a desire to teach you the Word of God, but I live this. My husband and I, we live these principles, and we're so excited about how God has worked supernaturally in our lives, and it's God's desire for every single one of His children that they walk in supernatural blessing. That's what this scripture is all about. Test me in this. See if I will not open up the windows of heaven. So we have lived this. I was just talking to my husband a couple days ago on how we actually live off of 50% of our income. Some people, the more they make, the more they end up spending and you stay at that cap. But we've gotten to the place where we live off of 50% of our income. And our giving isn't 10%. Just to the church alone, it's 20 to 30%. And then we have savings accounts for our future. We have savings accounts for when that thing breaks or you need your hair done, or you want to sow a seed. We walk in supernatural principles of God's kingdom, and He shows forth so incredibly. I have a couple of testimonies to share with you. Just, I'm so excited about how God works supernaturally in our finances. And so one of them was, we had a week of revivals, and we gave seed every single night. And on the last day, God told us to give a substantial amount to the evangelist personally in cash, just to give it to him. And so I withdrew the money, and we were excited to give because I'm on this thing with God trying to outgive Him. And let me tell you, you cannot outgive God. It's just crazy when you obey His principles, how He opens up the windows of heaven. So I put it in my purse, and we were going to give it that night to them. Before we even had a chance to give the money, somebody walked up to my husband and gave him a very, very, very substantial amount of cash for a blessing for him. It's like God, I just can't even keep up with Him. And then the next weekend, I went to a conference. They didn't even take an offering because it was a charged event. But I wanted to sow seed. So I sowed seed into the speaker. And on the way home, I talked to my husband. He said, somebody gave me an envelope. It's on the table for you when you get home. I opened that envelope and the money was already back in my pocket before it even exited the bank account. God is so good and so faithful. But that's what happens when we're faithful and obedient to his words. So I don't stand up here every single week out of a lack of knowledge. We experience this, we live in it, we walk in it, and it's so exciting. And to be a generous person is so incredible, and you cannot outgive God. Are you ready to give this morning? Stand to your feet. We'll make our supernatural declaration over your finances. It's found in Deuteronomy verse 28. Let's prophesy and speak over our finances. It says, repeat after me, if I obey, oh, I'm blessed going in. And I am blessed going out. I am blessed in my storehouse. And I'm blessed in my basket. The blessings have chased me down. They've tripped me up. Because I'm a child of God. And I'm blessed, I'm blessed. Come on and bring your tithes and offerings to the Lord. If you're watching via live stream, you can click on the giving button or text to give right along with us.
Everybody, it is still morning, by the way. It's 11:42. Can you turn to the person next to you and say, you look just marvelous today? Amen. This is the year of next level. Aren't you excited that God's taking you to another level? Aren't you excited that God isn't going to leave you where you were or where you are, but he's got greatness for you? I love the fact that God has fearfully and wonderfully made me. I love the fact that God has a divine plan for me, and he does you too. And because of that, we can't just sit back on our laurels. Do you know what a laurel is? Can't sit back on our laurels and just relax, but we've got to move forward in our plan and God's plan for our life. I've been preaching 3 weeks on next level change. And change is imperative for you to become the person that God has called you to be. I want to remind you that we preached next level faith first, because you actually need faith to be willing to change. Why? Because if you're changing, it means you're going where you've never gone before. It means you're getting ready to experience a place. And look at that, he's cheering us on. Get ready to cheer us on to a place we've never been before. And you see, everybody that kind of just stays back here, just gets kind of pokey, amen? We got to move on. Turn to someone and say, move on. Your past can never become your future. Let me say it again. Your past can never remain your future. So the longer you hang on to your past, you'll never reach God's destiny for your life. And a lot of people live this. They've come into a place in their heart, in their life, where they're okay with their past. You know how we know that? You can tell them. Are you ready? Whenever you talk to them and they're talking to you about the good old days. Well, you know the good old days. You remember the way it was? You know the way it used to be. Well, I'm sorry. Thank God for what it used to be, but that's not what it's supposed to be now. You see, if you're moving forward, the good old days are a good place to launch off of, but never to live in. The children of Israel were in Egypt for 430 years. They were in bondage. And for 430 years, they were being tortured. They were literally being confined. They were having to eat cabbage. And anybody knows eating cabbage for 430 years is just not fun. Amen. It creates good methane gas, but that's about all it does. And here we are as believers. God does not want you to remain in that position of Egypt. But God has called you to move on. God has called you to press on. God has called you to the promised land. What he promised Abraham all the way back, he said, I promise this to you, Abraham. I'm going to take you to a land. And he declared the blessings of Abraham in Genesis chapter 12. The problem is that before they got there, they were in Egypt. And for 430 years, they were in bondage, crying out for God's deliverance. They wanted change. How many of you want change in your life? How many of you want change in your family? You need a little bit of tweaking to happen in your family. How many of you want change in your job? Come on now. You might need a new job. How many of you wouldn't mind change in your financial position? Can I hear an amen? How many of you wouldn't mind change in your physical body? You need some changes to happen. Man, all of this is part of what God wants to do in this next level change. The problem is the children of Israel loved the concept of change. They loved the thought of being free, but didn't want the process. There is always a process to freedom. There's always a cost to freedom. You know, we love today that we can sit here and we can worship God. We love the fact that we can raise our hands and not have to worry about the government busting in and throwing us all in prison. But many times we forget the lives that were killed in World War I, World War II. We forget the men and women who were killed in the Vietnam War, the Korean War, Afghanistan, and in Iraq. And we can go through all the different countries of people that have died. The freedom that we have, there's always a cost, and it's that process. But you and I, we've got to come to this understanding. If God is going to take us out of Egypt and take us to a promised land, take us to his will and his best for our lives, that process is not always going to be easy. Turn to someone and say, process is not always easy. Why? Well, because it demands that you've got to walk by faith. You've got to get out of your own comfort zone. You've got to do something you've never done before. You see, the children of Israel, they wanted change so desperately, they called on God, and God finally sent them a deliverer. The problem then when they sent the deliverer was that God delivered them out of Egypt. The Bible says in Psalms 105, they left Egypt. There was not one sick among all of them. So they were delivered, they were healed, and they left with all the finances of the Egyptians. They love that fact. Can I hear an amen? They love being delivered. But man, when they got down to the Red Sea and realized that they were being cornered, I want you to realize they did not like the process. They cried out to God. They spoke to Moses. What did you do? Bring us down here to die? Because there wasn't enough graves in Egypt? You see, here we have a situation where all of us are facing. And that is when we are getting ready to step into God's newness, that when we're getting ready for our next level change, we've got to recognize that there are always going to be adversities. But if God told you to go, baby, you're going to make it. Can I hear an amen? If God gave you a promised land to go to, he's not going to leave you unless you leave him. Can I hear an amen or oh my? Now remember, the issue is not only that they didn't like the process, but it's easy to get them out of Egypt, but it's not easy to get Egypt out of them. You see, that's that transforming. The Bible says that we should renew our minds with the Word of God, that we should wash our minds with the Word of God. They came to a place where they liked the fact that they were going to be delivered. They liked the fact that they walked out with the silver and the gold. They liked the fact that they were marching on, but all of a sudden they came to the place where now there's adversity. They started saying, I'd rather go back to Egypt. I'm telling you now, you've got to burn Egypt in your life. You've got to make a decision that you're never going back there. You've got to make a declaration, I am never going to go back to my old lifestyle. You know, the story of Cortez, they say that he burnt his ships. That's debatable. So let's just say he burnt his ships. He burnt his ships so his men couldn't get back on the boats and go back to Spain. Here we have believers, so many believers. Man, they get truly, genuinely saved. They get called out of Egypt. But then they start walking towards God, and now adversity comes. Now their friends come in their life. Now their people start speaking badly of them. Now people start lying about them. Now problems start to come in their lives. And immediately, because they have not destroyed Egypt in their life, they head right back because it's safer here. You've got to make a determination. Egypt is never going to be part of your life again. You are never going back to the world. You are never going back into bondage. You are never going back and be owned by the devil. Can I hear an amen? You've got to make this decision in your life. The verse that we're using for the year is Philippians chapter 3, verses 13 and 14, and it says this, brethren and sisterin, I do not count myself as apprehended, but one thing, shout one thing. That's not a shout. I said, shout one thing. This one thing that I do, I forget those things which are behind. You've got to make a decision that your behind does not belong here. Amen. I'm telling you, it is uncomfortable to go back to Egypt. But it amazes me how many people, when that trial comes, they go back. They don't move forward, they go back. But the Bible makes a declaration. This one thing that I do, I press on towards the mark. I press on towards the mark. I'm not going back. Come on now, God's cheering us on. Not that that's God, but God is cheering us on. The Lion of the Tribe of Judah up there, I don't know about that either. But cheering us on. I got to go forward. I got to keep moving. I can't stop. I can't sit back. I've got to keep going forward in the things of God. The amazing part is the children of Israel, after they were delivered and after God did all of his supernatural things, you know, you got to really think about this. Not only did he deliver them after 430 years, not only did they get healed, every one of them, from the oldest to the youngest, not only did they walk out with all the gold and the silver of the Egyptians, not only did they get to march all the way down to the Red Sea and God opened it up and they walked across on dry ground and then their enemy who came against them was drowned as they tried to cross. Not only did he make bitter water sweet. Not only did he grow their shoes on their own feet. Not only did he bring food right to their front doorstep every single day. Not only did he water them, 2.5+ million people and all their livestock, of water coming out of a rock, like a movable rock. Like they literally transported the rock and it wasn't attached to anything, but water came out of it. God took care of them. And finally, come on now, I don't know about you, I've seen a lot of good miracles. How many of you have ever seen a miracle? I've seen some amazing miracles. But I want to tell you, miracles have never sustained anybody. I believe in miracles. I preach miracles. I've seen every kind of miracle there is, literally. And I'm telling you now that you can't keep somebody saved and on the right flow even though they see miracles. Why? Because you don't live by miracles. You walk by faith and not by sight. You see, you learn to walk by faith, calling those things which are not as though they already are, because you're not always going to get a miracle, but you're always going to trust God that if God says you're going to the other side, baby, you're going to the other side. It doesn't matter what's coming against you. It doesn't matter how hard it looks. If God said it, baby, you're going to make it. Can I hear an amen? Amen. So here they are. They've worked all that time, and now where are they? They're at the very mouth of the promised land. They're there. They're finally there. Isn't that exciting to know that you're finally there? That God's plan is unfolding in your life? I mean, it is exciting to realize what God has planned. And then it's right in front of you. The Bible says in the book of Genesis chapter 17, verse 8, and I will give you the entire land of Canaan where you now live as a foreigner to you and your descendants. I will be their possession forever, and I will be their God. So here they are. They're there. But something happened that you and I got to protect ourselves against in this process of change. In the process of change, what happens is many times we slide what we call into the democratic mentality. I want you to realize that God is a theocracy, not a democrat. Now, I'm not saying Democrat and Republicans. I'm talking democratic mentality of voting and having your opinion. How many of you know that your opinion really doesn't matter? How many of you have met somebody who really believes theirs does? They'll tell you what they think. They'll tell you what they feel. And guess what? You really don't care. But they're going to tell you what they think and what they feel. They really honestly believe their opinion matters. I have found that most people's opinions don't matter. Can I hear an amen or oh my? But the problem is, this is what happened when they finally got to God's best for their life. Numbers chapter 13, 17 to 20 says this. Then Moses sent them to spy out the land of Canaan. Let me ask you a question. Did God say possess the land of Canaan, or did God say send out spies? God never said spies. God says take it. I already gave it to you. It's already yours. Do you know what happened? They started to ask people's opinions. Do you want to know what happens many times in our walk with God as we're getting ready to go to our next level? We start listening to a lot of other voices. Your friends automatically start telling you, well, you know why you keep going to that church, man? You go all the time. What is it, a cult or something? I don't understand why you keep going there. Do you give your money to the church? Oh, my goodness, why? What do you give your money to the church for? Man, I liked you better the way you were before. I liked you stoned. I liked you drunk when you were puking in the toilet. I liked you better that way than I do now. You know what? They're going to give you all their opinions. But I'm here to tell you something. As you're getting ready to step into your next change, you do not have the right to listen to other people, especially unbelievers, their opinions, their democratic theology of where they think you should be. What matters simply is where God has told you to go. Now watch, this is the leader. Moses is the one who did this. Leader has a large impact on whether you're going to make it to your promised land. Hear me. The leader you follow determines whether you're going to make it to your promised land. Has a direct impact on your eternity. So here we have literally Moses, the one who God called, the burning bush, the one who God made himself powerful to, and literally Moses saw the backside of God. We're not talking about a novice, but here we have something that's inside Moses that was a little twisted, and that is, instead of doing what God told him to do, come on now, this ended up costing him the promised land himself, because God said, speak to the rock, but instead he struck the rock, and it cost him, literally cost him, his ability to go into the promised land. We've got to recognize that we're called to obey God. This is not our opinion matters. This is not, God, let me vote on this. Well, you know, God, I think you should do it better this way. God, I think it works better that way. No, I'm sorry. As believers, as we have come into the kingdom of God through salvation, it is not our right to tell God how he should run his kingdom. And let's be honest. My life is not my own. I've been bought with a price. We don't have the right to tell God how to run our life. Ooh, let that one sit. The Bible says that we lay our lives down on the altar of God as living sacrifices, holy and acceptable unto him, which is our reasonable service. That when you and I gave our hearts to Christ, it's no longer I that lives, but Christ that lives in me, and the life that I now live in the flesh, I live according to the faith of the Son of God. That the moment we became saved, we surrendered our life. We said, God, here I am. In you we live and move and have our being. And when we've surrendered our lives, when we start telling God how to live our life, this is what we're going to do. This is how I'm going to do it. This is where I'm going to go. This is how I'm going to handle this. Then you're going to either end up back in Egypt, or you're going to end up like the children of Israel, wandering around for 40 years and never truly reaching the promised land. We've got to make decisions. This is where it's a struggle in the body of Christ of America. Many people don't like to go to churches that talk like this. Well, I just want to be happy. Well, I want to be happy too. But happiness is not found in you and I doing our own thing. Happiness and joy is found in obeying God. Because when you're in God, the peace, the joy, the love, the nine fruits of the Holy Spirit become manifested in your life. And therefore you live out of the joy of the Lord, which is your strength. It has nothing to do with what's happening around you. It has everything to do with who you're in. I didn't say who's in you. I said who you're in. There's a difference. A lot of people want Christ in them, but they don't want to be in Christ. And that means you've surrendered your life and said, God, it's your way. For 430 years, Egypt didn't work for you. Didn't work for your children. Didn't work for your great-grandchildren. Didn't work for your great-great-great-grandchildren. Didn't work for your great-great-great-great-grandchildren. Come on, it has not worked. So you cry out for God to deliver you. But hear what the children of Israel did is they get right to the mouth of the promised land, right to the place of God's blessing, right to the place of God's best. And now, instead of stepping over and laying hold, they send out opinions. They sent out 12 men. When they came back, it was pretty amazing. Because 10 of them came back. Now listen, all 12 saw the same thing. They all visualized. They all came across. They were together. They saw the same giants. They saw the same walled cities. They saw the men and the women and how strong they were. They saw how beautiful the trees were. They saw how bountiful the fruit was. They saw everything. But when they came back, this is the powerful part now, that you've got to make a decision in your own life. You see, some of you will truly break through and see God's best for your life. And some of you will wander in the desert for 40 years and you'll die and you'll, listen now, God's blessing will still be on your life. You'll still have food every day. I've never seen the righteous forsaken or a seed out begging for bread. You'll still have your clothes. He said, now look at the birds of the field. They neither toil nor are labor, but I take care of them. They have a place to live. They have a place to sleep. Don't worry about that. All that will be taken care of. But you see, the children of Israel, because they did not obey God, they wandered out here for 40 years. Blessed to a level. Blessed to a position. Now listen, they weren't going back to Egypt. It was too far. But if it was too close, who knows? That's why people who play with sin so much, you're playing too close. But here, man, for 40 years, God's taking care of them, but it's not the best for their life. Well, there are special people. No, they're not. God is no respecter of persons. God will bless every one of us the same way. But it is not determined by whether you're the special or not the special. It is determined by whether you're going to say, God, I'm going to truly walk by faith. I'm going to abandon myself. I'm going to say, God, not my will, thy will be done. God, no matter what you want to do with my life, it's not my own. Take it. Take control of it. I want to live through you. I want you to live through me. Now, you see, 10 came back, and they said, we can't do, oh, let me just read it to you, because it's powerful. When you start hearing what was actually said was just horrible. Then Caleb quieted the people. This is Numbers chapter 12, verses 30 through 33. Then Caleb quieted the people before Moses and said, let us go up at once and take possession, for we are well able to overcome it. So here's two guys. These men, they sat back and they said, listen, we can do this. Joshua and Caleb, listen, God said we can take it. Now, remember, they all saw the same thing. The same opportunity was sitting in front of them. Everything was the same right there for them. Two of them said, listen, we can do this. God says we can do this. God says this is our land. God says this is our blessing. God says this is our next level. Oh, listen now, the problem with all of this is this. Whenever you're getting ready to go to your next level, then you've got to start combating the reality of fear because you've never been there before. What's the opposite of faith? Is fear. You've got to make a decision that I'm going to walk by faith and not by sight. You've got to make a decision. If God said it, it is so. You've got to make a decision that God won't let me fail, for greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. You've got to make a decision that you can trust God. This is the challenge of our walk with the Spirit. We've got to know that God has pushed us. And, oh, let me just finish the verse. It's powerful. But the men who had gone up with him said this, "We're not able to go against the people. They are stronger than we are." They gave the children of Israel a bad report of the land, which they had spied out, saying, "The land through which we have gone as spies is a land that devours its inhabitants, and the people whom we saw in it are men of great stature." Verse 33, this is powerful. You ready? "There we saw the giants, the descendants of Anak became from the giants, and we were like grasshoppers in our own sight. And so we were in their sight." You see, how you view yourself, how you view how God views you. "Well, you know, I'm just a Christian, just a sinner saved by grace." I'm sorry, I'm not a sinner saved by grace. I'm no longer a sinner, because when grace saved me, I became a son of God. I became a king in the kingdom of God. I became a priest. Listen, the word says, the Bible says that I became more than an overcomer. The Bible says that I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. The Bible says that I am an ambassador, which means that I am literally, not figuratively, I am literally the spokesman of heaven on earth. That's why he said, when Jesus prayed, that he'll bring heaven to earth, because you and I have the ability, because we are ambassadors, to stand here and declare the goodness, the power, the manifestation of the Holy Spirit, and God will supernaturally change even atmospheres. All of that is because of who we are. You are not a grasshopper. "Oh, but Pastor, if you only knew my past." Well, listen, forget those things which are behind. Let me tell you something. You can't change that. You can't even fix that. That's in dead time. You can't change dead time. You've got to make a decision from this moment on that my eyes are focused on Jesus, the author and the perfecter of my faith. That I'm not going to move to the right hand, to the left, but I'm going to fix my eyes on him. I'm going to look up where my redemption draws nigh, instead of keep looking down at my problems, my situations, and even my past. I'm making a declaration that I can do anything. Get out of my way, devil, and I don't care what you tell me. Listen. Stop listening to the spies in your life. Stop listening to the people that are whispering death to your life. Stop whispering people that are speaking doubt to your life. Some of you got to get rid of some of those folks. Can I hear an amen or oh my? Some of the change that God is asking some of you to bring is God is asking some of you, in fact, he's spoken to. He said, "I told you to get out of alcohol. I told you to stop drinking." Why? Well, because all your old friends are where you were drinking. And every time you get around your old friends, you're drinking again. Then you're getting drunk and you're making a fool of yourself. And then you go to share Jesus with them and they look at you and they go, "Yeah." God spoke clearly to somebody to stop smoking the weed. Say amen or oh my. He's spoken to somebody to stop smoking, period. Listen, he's spoken to somebody to stop gossiping. Same sin. I don't know what it is that God has spoken in your life. And some of you, he's told you to get rid of your friends. Because those spies, every time you start to grow, keep pulling you back. You got to make a decision. Because this is not about you and I going to heaven. Now listen now. If you've confessed Jesus as your Lord and Savior, and you love God, you're going to heaven. But I want you to realize that everybody in this room is not going to make it to the promised land. Only those who want to. Only those who are determined that they're not going to be stopped by anybody. They're going to be that Joshua and Caleb that said, "I don't care what it looks like. I don't care how big the giants are. I don't care how big the problem is. I don't care how big the walls are. I don't care what they laugh at me. I don't care what they say about me. God says that's my land. God says that's where I'm going. And I don't care what anybody else says. I'm going all the way, because if God is for me, I can't lose." You got to make a decision in your heart. Just like Moses literally affected negatively the children of God from entering the promised land, there are people in your life that are negatively affecting you. Then there are people that are positively affecting you. I'm going to have Kiara. Kiara, stand to your feet. How many of you know Kiara? How many of of you know that every Wednesday we bus in over 100 children. We love them, minister to them, and Thursday we do the same thing. We love them, stand up, love them, minister to them, share with them Jesus, get them the gospel. We're trying to literally transform a generation. This young lady is one of the main reasons that we did that right here. When she came here, she was a hellion. No, I'm not talking a hellion. I'm talking a hellion. I think she punched you in the face, didn't you? No, was in the backseat. The cops came. They had an altercation in the back of the car. I'm talking Kiera was vim and vigor on steroids. She came and she lived with us. She came and she lived with Josiah. She came and she lived, well, come on now, with Josh and Mel. Lived with Cody. Man, I'm talking like she went back to the world, came back, went back to the world, came back to the world, came back. But now I got a testimony because you and I changed this generation. Because you and I invested in her on Wednesdays and Thursdays. This young lady is now in Bible college down in Atlanta, Georgia, and God is using her life. People change people. So when you get a spy in your life, baby, you got to make sure they're speaking God's truth, not God's death. My aunt's here. You know, today, I'm blessed. My aunt was my Sunday school teacher. Her, my ma, auntie, stand up, wave at everybody. This is my aunt. She was my Sunday school teacher. And I remember her investing, and I remember her speaking into my life. And today, honestly, I'm here because her and my ma were my Sunday school teachers and all the rest of them that lined up. You see, this church wouldn't even be in this cornfield. This would still be a pot field. This would still be a pot field right here in Horseheads, New York. They had 99 or 100 pots harvested off of here. You know, this was a cornfield pot field combination. It was amazing. But this building wouldn't be here. You wouldn't be sitting in those chairs if it wasn't for my aunt. Every single person in your life plays massive impact on whether you're going to accelerate or be decelerated. You're going to go back to Egypt, or you're going to wander in the wilderness, or you're going to be saying, listen now, I'm going all the way with God. I'm going to cross over to the promised land. I'm going to do God's will all the way. I don't care what it looks like. I'm going to walk by faith and not by sight. I'm going to step out on nothing to land on something. I'm going to decree that God's word is yea and amen. Not one jot or tittle shall pass away before it's all come to completion. I believe God. I don't believe anything else. When you start doing that, I want you to know something, that you're going to start stepping into places you've never been before. And I want you to know that at times it's a little scary. I want you to know at times it's a little fearful. But I want you to realize that if God told you to go, baby, you're going to make it. And you've got to be willing to step out on that nothing to land on that something. You are not a grasshopper. You are an ambassador. You are not a grasshopper. You are not just making it by. You belong at the table. You're a son and daughter of the Most High God. You're a son and daughter of the Most High King. You're a prince and you're a princess, and it's time to start acting like it, because God is in us. God is in us, the hope of glory. I'll end with this. How you see yourself says everything. You see yourself as a loser, that's all you accelerate to. You see yourself as who God, and this is the best part, you are fearfully and wonderfully made. So when you see yourself in the eyes of God, man, you can't just barely make it. You weren't brought on this planet to survive. You were brought on this planet, anointed by the Holy Spirit, by God living inside of you when you got saved, to do God's work. God don't need another angel in heaven. He needs warriors on earth. When you and I make this decision, We've got to determine in our heart, I belong at the table. I belong where God has called me. I know, listen now, I'll never forget where I came from, but I'm not continuing to look back. I'm going to see where I'm supposed to be going. Come on now. If you're always looking back, you'll never reach your future. And I'm going to say, God, I don't understand it all. God, I don't understand how it's all going to happen. But this one thing that I know, if you told me to go to the other side, I'm going to the other side. God, if you told me this is the promised land, even though there are giants, even though there are walled cities, even though there are big people, I know this, that if God, you're for me, I can't lose. You got to make a determination. The Bible says in Philippians chapter 4, verse 13, I can do all, shout all. What's all? Do you realize some of you have so confined your life? You know, God has business for some of you. And I'm not talking like survival business. I'm talking like a business that will pay you so well, you're going to live lavishly. You're going to be so blessed. But what happens is every time you look at it, you think yourself as dumb. You think yourself as something that can't accomplish it. I'm telling you right now, you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. If God put a vision in your heart, you can do it. How do I know that? Because if God put it there, that means it's a God idea. And if it's a God idea, that means God has already fortified you to accomplish the task. Because God will not give you a vision that he will not bring provision for. So here you are, you've got to make a decision in your heart. Are you going to surrender the vision and dreams that God has given you because of how you see yourself or by what the spies say? Or are you going to look at God and say, I know what you said that you are giving me this land, that you said that I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. All things, I refuse to surrender one of them. When you make that decision, your next level change, I'm not saying it's going to be easy, but I'm saying you can't fail. Bible says in Luke chapter 1, verse 37, for with God, nothing is impossible. How much? Nothing. Mark 9, 23, Jesus said to them, if you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes. That's what happened to the children of Israel. They get all the way, listen now, he did all that for them. He did all that, all the way up to here. I mean, how many of you have ever seen the Red Sea open up? How many of you have ever seen Seneca open up? Can you imagine if Seneca literally rolled back? You walked across on dry ground. And your enemies were drowned. They saw that. Yet when it came time to obtain what God's promise was for their life, they chose not to believe that God could actually do it. Some of you, God's done so much in your life. And now it's time to step into the next phase, this next change that's going to bring you from a person who's just surviving to one who's thriving. You see, one of the greatest things you can ever do is recognize that God has you here for a reason. What's the reason? Pastor, I don't understand the reason. You know something? The Bible says in John chapter 15 that we are trees. We're fruit trees. You ever seen a fruit tree eat its own fruit? All of a sudden, you're in the orchard, and you see a branch go across and pick an apple, and the tree starts eating its own apple. How many of you have ever seen that besides the movies? Nope. You ever seen a tree look at himself and say, boy, I've got nice bark? Nope. What is the purpose for a fruit tree? It's to bless other people. It's to be sustenance for other people. Is to take care of other people. Listen, man, we're coming into apple season. And I don't know about you, I don't like the soft apples. I like those crispy ones that crunch when you eat it. Man, you grab a hold of that apple, and you look at it, and it looks good. And then you take a bite of that, and it's kind of spurts all over the place. Then it starts to drool down the corners of your mouth as you're starting to chew it, and you're going, yes. The Bible says, taste and see that the Lord is good. How does he taste and see? How do people taste and see that God is good? From the fruit from your tree. You'll never become more happy. You'll never become more joyful when you enter the promised land in the process of God actually using your life to change other people. There's nothing more satisfying than realizing that God is using you to change these children, that God is using you to change your family, that God is using you to change the people at work. But there's nothing worse than picking up an apple and biting it and realize you just ate half a worm. Amen. Bible says in Matthew chapter 17, verse 20, so Jesus said to them, because of their unbelief, for assuredly I say to you, if you have faith as a mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move. Nothing will be impossible for you. What will be? Nothing. Romans chapter 8, verse 31, what then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? Jeremiah 32, 27. Behold, I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. Is there anything too hard for me?
No.
Nothing. My challenge is this. In this next level change, some of you really have become satisfied back here. Some of you have gone back here. Let me tell you. It's amazing, in all the years of ministry, watching people grow in Christ, get excited about Jesus, passionate for the Lord, and then watching them go back to Egypt. They go back to their same bars. They go back to their same friends. They go back to their same people. There's only one thing that's going to happen, baby. You're going to get horned. It's going to be very uncomfortable. You left there for a reason. You left there because for 430 years you were abused there. But Jesus gave you life and life more abundant. But what happened was you started walking in the desert for so long. Man, you were once so passionate for the Lord. You were here both services on a Sunday. You were fighting for a chair. Amen or oh my. And then you couldn't wait to get here during the weekday. You couldn't wait to get here and hear rock solid faith. Or now we have growth track. Can you guys stand and just wave it? I'll have your husband stand and just wave it. There you go. And wave it, everybody. This growth track, you need to join that every Sunday morning. If you haven't joined growth track, you're missing it. And then from growth track to rock solid faith. You know, this is what I love about Pastor Banfield. He and his beautiful bride, they had a desire. You see, he got saved when he was 54 years old. He was a wild man. Here's a man who's one of the first Navy SEALs. He's a man that he taught gun safety. He was a police officer, police chief. He was a court. He is a coroner. He is a farmer, is a father, is a husband. We can go through all the things that Pastor Banfield is. But he got saved at 54 years old. That's not old. But 54 years without Jesus isn't young either. That means you got somewhat of a pattern. So here he was in Egypt, and he made a decision. He says, I'm going to serve the Lord. And he started serving the Lord. This is what he did to me. He said, Pastor, what's the first class I need to take? At that point, it was rock solid faith. Rock solid faith. Okay. And he went through rock solid faith. I said, and he came to me and said, what's next? I gave him the next class. He said, what's next? I gave him the next class. He said, what's next? I gave him the next class. He said, what's next? I gave him the next class. He said, what's next? I said, there are no more classes. You took them all. I said, but we do have a Bible school if you want, but you got to pay for it. He said, all right. He said, I'm going to give up some things in my life to make sure that I'm in Bible college. And he joined Bible college. Who would ever have thought, I'm sure he would not have, 15 years ago, that he would have gone from Egypt all the way to the promised land, where now he's a pastor over the men of this church. He's a phenomenal man of God, anointed of the Holy Spirit, and God uses him to change lives. That could be you. But you got to make a decision. I'm not going back to Egypt, number one. And number two, I refuse to wander in the wilderness for 40 years and die in the dirt. God's brought me to the promised land. God's brought me to my next level. God's brought me, and I know it's changed, and I know it's uncomfortable, and I know that I don't really want to change. But if you don't change, then you can only be the old you. And if you're only the old you, how many worms do you got? What really needs to change in your life? You know what needs to change. But you can't change if you're not willing to move forward. How many here fell once doing the same sin? How many fell once sinning? How many fell twice doing the same sin? How many have sinned the same sin at least 10 times? Some of you are really good. How many have sinned the same sin 432 times, 0.3? Amen. Every time you got to make a decision. Not that I've apprehended, but this one thing that I do, I forget those things which are behind. And I press on, I press on, I press on, I press on. Because if God is for me, who can be against me? I've got the promised land in front of me. I can't fail if I keep my eyes on Jesus, the author and the finisher of my faith. I'm going all the way. But some of you have not gone all the way. Some of you have actually retracted and headed back to Egypt. You don't go to any classes anymore. In fact, to get you here on a Sunday is a miracle.
Miracle!
I tell Pastor Dan, mark their name! Don't want to forget they were here. Some of you are passionate about God. Man, you couldn't wait to get to the altar and worship. Now you sit in the back. No, I'm not blaming anybody in the back. But you know what I mean. That's right. That lady was in the front worship. Amen. Both services. The place is your heart. Are you heading back to Egypt? Are you just wandering in the desert for 40 years? Well, you know, you can't teach an old dog new tricks. That's stupid. Well, you know, this happened in my life and that happened. I was offended, or this happened. And, you know, the problems that I'm dealing with, my finances. Stupid. Stop making excuses. Either you believe God is God or you don't. Either he is truly God or he isn't. Either I can do all things through Christ or it's a lie, fabrication. Let's go home. I'm not interested in religion, and neither are you. I want God. I want to be who he's called me to be. And I want people to eat of the fruit of the tree. And know that God is good and not bad. And today, that's every one of us. This next level change is challenging for each one, because every one of us are on a different level. Every one of us are in a different place. We've all got to ask ourselves this question. Am I in Egypt? Am I wandering? Or am I going in? Which one are you? Because where you determine you will determine whether you are going to truly succeed in God or just survive in the desert till you die. I don't know. I'm stubborn. I want it all. Amen? I want it all. I don't want a little bit of it. I want it all. If you'll bow your heads with me this morning. Today, if you do not know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, I'm not asking you to join a church. I'm not asking you to join a religion. I'm asking you to know the one that's going to deliver you from Egypt. He's awesome. He'll do miracle after miracle after miracle, signs and wonders after signs and wonders. Not that he has to prove himself to you, but he loves to prove himself to you. He loves to show himself powerful. He loves to show himself faithful. Today, if you do not know Jesus as your Savior and you want to start this travel, you want to start this adventure with God, you want to make it to your promised land, the reason for your breath on this planet, more than just sucking air, making a few bucks, making a few kids, and dying to be put in a grave. I want to know why I'm here, and I want to fulfill it. If today, that's you. You want Christ to be your Lord and Savior. Maybe you're in a backslidden condition. You're not where you're supposed to be with Jesus. And if you die right now, you're not sure if you're going to go to heaven or not. And you want to be sure, be sure, be sure. Today, if you would like to accept Christ or get right with God, I'd like you to slide your hand up right now. I'm not going to wait real long. Thank you very much in the back. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank you very much, young man. Anybody else this morning? Thank you, sir. Anybody else? Amen. You can put your hands right back down. Thank you. Right there, all three of you? All four of you? You're already set. Amen. Isn't that exciting?
Well, you know, it's a church thing.
No, 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 no. The Bible says when you accept Jesus, there's a supernatural reaction. That immediately you go from death to life. Jesus washes your sins away, and the Holy Spirit comes and dwells inside of you. This is not religion. This is not just something that some of you, come on now, some of you need to get saved. You had a good religious experience, but you haven't had a good touch from God in a long time. I'd like us all to stand to our feet. Mindy, I'm going to have you come. Stand right on over here. Please, second or third step. Today, if You can turn to the person next to you and say, listen, if you didn't raise your hand but you want to give your heart to the Lord, I'll go up with you. Can you ask the person next to you real quickly? You're saying, well, you know, I already know they're born again. You might not know that. Amen. If you raise your hand for salvation, I'm going to ask you to be brave. I'm going to ask you to step right out of your chair. Meet Mindy right up front right now. Come right out of your chair. Come right on up front right now. Come on, give them a hand clap as they come. They're coming out of their Egypt this morning. Jesus is setting them free. Jesus is setting them free. So excited for you all. So excited for you all. God is changing your life. God's going to change your life forever. So proud of you. So proud of you. Today is your day. Hallelujah. Mindy's going to take you right on over there. We're going to pray with you, get your Bibles. Now, I want to remind you, you want to jump into growth track immediately. Kayla and Terry, I just mixed their name up together. They're the teachers there, and they'll take good care. They love folk. Amen, baby. This is your change day. Amen. 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 Follow Mindy right on over there. We'll pray with you. I'm going to have the prayer team come to the front of the altar. If you need prayer for anything, you need prayer for healing, deliverance. Doesn't matter what you need. I know this. The people that we have up front to pray with you are supernatural people. They believe in the power, the dunamis power of God, and God heals the sick. You know, if we could ever just take a moment and just talk about this lady right here. How old are you, young lady? And I know we're not supposed to ask that question. How old are you? How old? 84 years old. No, listen. This woman should have been dead at least how many times? At least twice. There was no hope. She's a walking miracle. She was never supposed to walk again. She's a walking miracle. She knows how to pray. Amen. You were healed of cancer too, right? Healed of cancer too. Talking like this woman's a miracle. So, you know, sometimes you just don't know what you don't know the package you're looking at. Come on now. So I'm challenging you today. If you need healing, deliverance, this whole team right here will love to pray with you, minister to you, and God will set you free in Jesus' name. Amen? I love you. Have an awesome week. Serve Jesus with all of your heart. Y'all, I'm going to pray with her. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you.